Hello and welcome to The Final Bell, the Geelong Cats podcast where I'm happy, very happy that the Cats have had a true win against the Pies, but as always to be joined by Zach Toohey and Scotty Gallen, as we will be every week. Zach?
Morning.
Welcome to you.
Yep, very chirpy this morning.
Ah, very chirpy. Great win against the Pies. Scotty, hello.
Hello, gentlemen. Yeah, it was funny. I was working at the other game, so I caught it on, recorded it for my research purposes. Pretty happy I had the fast forward. But, no, I'm not. It's a good win. But Zach, when you were playing it, what did you think?
Oh, it did. I was happy. It did occur to me it was low scoring.
Oh, you guys had it in the bag.
I'm a defender, so that's, like a badge of honour.
Low scoring is good. And it kept them to 5 goals. It was 5 goals, 15. They made
pressure.
Perceived pressure when Reggie's around. Might not lay a tackle, but no one's sniffing around.
Speaking of pressure, you thought you might not be playing next week. You KO'd that poor Collingwood.
Oh, Tom Phillips.
Just another victim, you know? No, it's... Yeah, it was a weird one because it felt like an innocuous tackle. And when he didn't get up, it did occur to me that I might be in trouble. But I think it was his own teammate kind of got him in the end.
Are your tackles that weak that a player can still... He can be knocked out by one of his teammates and can still kick a goal even though you're tackling him?
Doesn't say a whole lot for me, does it? That's why I don't tackle.
Oh, there we go. We've got the cheap shots going here early. They're sitting pretty, though, the Cats at the moment. Third on the ladder behind only Richmond and West Coast. And third to eighth on the ladder, Scotty, at the moment. Very tight. Same wins, only percentage separating them. And only one game separates third to 13th. So it is important at the moment that the Cats do keep on winning and getting the job done against a good Collingwood team who's really improved a lot.
As we spoke about last week, they've always historically given them trouble. But I just, again, we're going to talk about the younger team, not the lesser names, but just the whole cohesion of the whole lot is very impressive.
It's going to be as part of our start, stop and keep. We're going to be talking with the Cats boss, the CEO, Brian Cook, a little bit later on. As always, we'll get the VFL wrap from Angus Kramer. We're going to chat VFLW with Kate Darby. We'll answer your questions and then we'll put a few people under the pump in for whom the bell tolls. Before we get to start, stop and keep, though, I just want to, no doubt you'd be starting to celebrate right now, given the amazing news overnight in the cricket. Zach, I know you're all over the cricket.
Yeah, I love cricket ball. One of my favourite things.
Come on, tell me. It's Ireland's first ever cricket test match against Pakistan. Mm. You would have been following it.
You got up early, didn't you?
Massive, yeah. Especially when he got that cricket goal over the back.
It's the first 100 ever scored for Ireland by Kevin O'Brien. And it's put them in a strong position.
He scored 100?
Yes.
So he's pass forward, yeah. Was he a key forward in cricket?
this is a historic moment for your country.
Well, is it? No, I'm not.
They don't rate cricket over there.
It's not. Well, they do, but I'm pretty sure that's the only 11 blokes who are into it.
So you don't watch the Big Bash? You don't cricket anything over here?
No. I've watched a bit of the Big Bash. It's
all right.
What about in the rooms when Danger and the boys get the tennis ball out? No interest.
You're welcome to keep pushing this, but no, still don't like it.
Note here, don't talk cricket, don't talk NBA, don't talk any American sports with Zach, right?
Round 12, we won't have much to ask that.
AFL or soccer? Only. Start, stop, keep. Let's fire away. Let's start with start, because we're like on a nice, I was going to say positive note, but you're going positive here, Scotty. We're going to hand this one over to you. You want to start a campaign.
I love a campaign. As we know last week, I started one, but we'll get onto that later. Asava, the big Fijian, he needs to win the Rising Star. He won't win it, because for political reasons, but he will end up being the best.
I'm on that selection panel. What political reasons?
Because they'll give it to a midfielder from interstate who gets a few more possessions. But this kid, he didn't even get it this week because the Ronk kicked 7 goals. Mm. So he's not even nominated yet. But what we've seen in the first 2 months, he's a star and he'll end up being the best of this crew. Now, I do have a long-time beef with this award, Zach.
Clearly, because you've declared, in fact, you've stated outright that Asava's going to win it despite the fact he hasn't got a nomination
That's
yet.
That's a setback. He'll get one. Yeah. But it's a political motivated award. Lewis Taylor, who's a fine, very little man who plays for Brisbane.
God, here we go.
He beat Marcus Bontempelli, who's one of the greatest players the game's ever seen. And it was a political decision. And I believe you were on that committee that voted that.
Can we just declare something here? Scott Gallen, despite the fact he does love the Cats and he does, he's a valuable member of this podcast.
He's a member of this podcast.
Yeah, okay. True. Good, good point. There is a little asterisk next to his name. He's not a Cats supporter.
Ooh.
No. He barracks for the Western Bulldogs, hence his just complete infatuation with Marcus Bontempelli.
So you're suggesting me, you were on that committee.
I was.
Voting panel.
Yes.
You gave Lewis Taylor votes over Marcus Bontempelli.
It's about the year they've had, not the player they're going to become.
I'm talking about the year they had.
Okay, I didn't give Lewis Taylor a vote that year at all, Scotty, but... okay, Asava Radigalia to win the Rising Star.
I do agree he should go close, but I'm not sure he will. Because of your bias, Lingy. Because you won't do your job properly, apparently, is what Scotty's implying, I think.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I just heard a direct attack on me there.
Tick, Zach's on side. Love that.
Start Asava to win the NAB Rising Star Award.
He should, I like it. But he won't.
Good start. Well, there's something coming straight back at you because we moved to stop. Mm.
Zach, speaking of campaigns, this is horrific.
What
you
are
think
we
you know
about?
Someone.
Just to recap, now I'm sure everybody did listen to last week's podcast, but... Scott Gallen basically declared that he was pro-death.
Are we going over this again?
He wanted he wanted animals to die. He wants more plastic bags in the world. And fortunately, we did receive some good feedback on the social
good,
media.
Some good, honest feedback for Scotty.
Suggesting that Scotty was perhaps an ignorant dill.
Dill.
That's fair.
I believe those words were on my Twitter account. And a photo of a poor seagull.
Which you had suffocated in a plastic bag.
But Cameron, I also got some feedback. I got some emails. One from Zach from Highton. He said, love your work.
This is not true.
Totally agree 100%. ... But I can't say something like that.
Yeah, that's a lie. That's a stitch up. You you have it in for animals and you're an awful, awful person.
There it is. The second part's probably right.
The final word. Dog. Stop your campaign to hurt animals.
Okay, I apologise. I do apologise.
Keep's a serious one on football here. Can I throw this one up to you, Zach?
Mm-hmm.
Keep. George Haaland-Smith.
Yep.
Jordan Cunico. Mm-hmm. Jackson Thurlow. In the team.
Yeah.
Well, nobody out there in the big wide world talks about them a great deal, but the balance that they provide to that team, in the midfield in particular, the two-way run, the outstanding work rate on the outside at times of the contest to reset the strike, all of those things, they are vital to that Geelong midfield.
Yeah, they are, and it's a good problem to have, certainly from the coach's point of view, to have pressure on these spots. But those three you mentioned, they're such quality teammates because they do those things so well and so consistently. So it will be interesting to see, but yeah, I couldn't agree more. They've earned their spot and they should hold on to it.
George Haaland-Smith, I think for a period of time, went to steal side bottom, kept him quiet, flexibility to do it. There is going to be a battle for spots, which is a good thing,
a great thing.
Menzel and Parfitt to come back soon. Will they come back this week, you reckon?
Oh, I'll be touch and go for this week.
Scott Selwood out with a back injury.
Yeah, he'd be close.
He'd be close.
He'd be close.
Hawkins will come back in.
Yep.
Lachie Fogarty.
He was rested.
Rested. He'll come back in.
Should be good to go.
Am I missing anyone else?
No, I think you've done well there.
Not that's coming back.
When
soon.
We talk to Angus about the VFL, we'll find out. Link McCarthy and your favourite player, Mark O'Connor. Merrick. But
my boy.
Thurlow intrigues me because he had the injuries, but then a few clubs would have been sniffing around him because he wasn't getting the game. But he stayed, which I like. And he offers the long kicking like you. You know, he's a metres gain person, isn't he? He's one of those, carry the ball, bang.
Yeah, and when he's up and going and when he's confident, he is just so dangerous with ball in hand. So another reason we should persist with guys like him because give him two or three more weeks, he'll another level again.
And try to take a hanger on the weekend?
Not sure about that one.
No, I didn't think that was that close.
That's not honest enough for me. Just stare down and punch it.
Just punch it, kick long down the line. Just keep it simple. No, so a lot of positives. I mean, and we have been in the first couple of podcasts pumping up Tom Stewart and Tim Kelly and those younger players, but Thurlow, Cunico, Haaland-Smith, got to give them a mention. Sam Menegola as well. I know he's not a younger player and has now played a chunk of games, but he was brilliant on the weekend.
Yeah, I still just think he's so underrated. I mean, I'm not sure what the external impression of him is. He's at his third club. geez, he's a good player. Like, for us, and he's so good in the air as well. It makes him such a dangerous target.
And I before we do, we're going to have to take a break, and we'll get to Angus and Kate in a second. But just before, I was really glad to see my fellow Channel 7 commentators on Friday night when Ben Ronk was running to the to the bench.
It was weak by you.
It was great that they really made a point of saying you shouldn't come to the bench.
Such nonsense. I was listening to that game, and they were harping on about how great it was that they were sending him back on. I was sitting there going, Lingy, get him, pounce, jump on him, Lingy. But no, sign of weakness there, Lingy.
Oh, I'm nerved up, I'll be honest. Righto, break time. Back soon.
Hello, it's Kevin Sheedy. Join us at the MCG this Saturday for the Powercore Country Festival. Enjoy live performances from the Black Sorrows, John Williamson, Darren Coggan and Michelle Gardner, along with a spectacular array of food and wine from regional producers. Bring the kids along to watch sheep shearing, whip cracking, enjoy the animal farm, face painting, a truck and tractor field show, courtesy of Case IH and Case Construction, a farmer's market and much more. We can't wait to see you there.
Welcome back. It's To the Final Bell, the Geelong Cats podcast. Said joined by Scotty Gallen and Zach Tui, as we will be every week as we go through everything that's happening for the Geelong Cats. And it's time for the VFL wrap. And every week we are joined by Angus Kramer, who sits down, he watches the VFL team, he lets us know who's playing well, who needs a bit of work, and how the team's going. Angus, welcome to you. A close loss, a thrilling loss against Collingwood at Olympic Park Oval on the weekend, going down by 4 points, but sounds like a bit of a thriller in tough conditions.
Yeah, it was very tough conditions. In the G, might not have had the same amount of wind that we had out at Olympic Park, but yeah, there was definitely a scoring end, but that the first quarter probably characterised the day where we let them have a 6-1 first term and then sort of played catch-up all game, down still by 29 at three-quarter time. And whilst we kicked the next 5 goals, a late goal to Jared Blair saw them hold on by 4 points.
The obviously real positive, the fact they could come back, kick those 5 goals, get in front. How was the feel after the game? Disappointment in the loss? I mean, no doubt it would be, but was there real positives to take out of it for the group?
Yeah, there definitely was. And with a few players coming back, Lincoln McCarthy, Quinton Narkle, Sam Simpson, there was a few blokes who weren't too fresh, possibly a bit rusty coming back. So the fact that they did play the next 3 quarters and probably won the second, third and fourth quarters, it was a positive feeling in the rooms. And whilst it was disappointing with the start, the 2 losses that we've had this year have been both under a goal. So it's no need for panic.
Yeah, just looking at the best, we'll get on to my favourite player, Merrick O'Connor. But Lincoln McCarthy, I mean, that's an incredible game for your first one back in a long time. That's really good signs for the Geelong supporters listening.
Yeah, definitely no sign of rust at all. Kicked the first goal of the game and then from then just went on from there. Showed everything that he showed at
AFL level. Took a specky?
Yeah, took some big marks. Heard this. Kicked 3 goals and his tackling pressure was incredible. So he was really doing it all. And for a first game back in a year, that was really good for him. And Quinton Arkle and Sam Simpson as well, both had above 15 touches and 5 tackles. So they were all really impressive.
What about Cameron's love child? I see Ryan Abbott, his name.
Thank you, Scotty. Finally,
I had to
get
him before you started.
Number 45.
Vomiting about him. Take us through Ryan's game.
Yeah, Ryan was really impressive. He's he has been all year, but on the weekend was definitely his best game. 34 hit outs. Got a bit of the ball as well, and he was moving really well. Also, Buzz had a bit of a hit out in the ruck as well, Reece Stanley too, but Ryan Abbott was really definitely the best ruckman on the ground.
These two pumping up Lincoln McCarthy, and I'm quite seriously pumped that Lincoln McCarthy is back playing. I don't want it to sound like that, but he was second best according to the best players. Zach's about to go on and on about Mark O'Connor. He was about sixth best. Ryan Abbott. He was the man who was best on ground.
Yep, Ryan played well, so Mark. So how did he look, my good Irish friend? Let's get on to the real stuff.
Mark did look quite good. He's still showing that versatility that we talked about earlier in the year. And he bobbed up for a goal, which has been quite rare for him. He kicked a goal in a crunch moment of the game, which was great. And he had the most marks of the ground of any Geelong player, 17 touches. And his second half was huge in that comeback. So he was one of the best players that it showed.
Now, there's an interesting name in the best, Harry Cole. what's his link to Nigel and Michael, the famous Cole brothers? Is it son?
Yeah, son of Michael Cole. So Michael had played 60-odd games with the Cats in the 80s. Harry, that was his best game. That was his first time amongst the best players. And he really impressed playing along the wing.
What type of player is he? Can you give us, fill us in, those who would have seen his father and uncle?
Yeah, he's a wingman, can play half forward, half back. Good user of the ball, really classy player. Has a good tank as well, running wise. He's very good junior, has had a few injury plagued years, but he's really coming along now, and it's great to see.
Played over the road at St Mary's, Scotty, and I think even might have even worked down at the edge for a little while there. So
did he throw me out?
Look
once?
After
no?
Him.
Oh, nah. Serve me.
Yeah, no, he would have served you, Scotty. Responsible service, of course. Who they got this week?
Essendon as well, another semi-curtain raiser with the AFL, but the VFL's over at Windy Hill at 12 o'clock, and both teams are 3-2, so it'd be nice to get a win.
Perfect. Thanks, Angus.
Thanks a lot.
Well, unfortunately, the VFL couldn't quite get the job done against the Pies. But the VFLW, don't worry about them. They worked extremely hard. We at least split the points. Ended up with a draw. But we've got Kate Darby in here to talk to us about all things VFLW. A draw. So we've had a close loss in the VFL and a draw at Olympic Park Ground on the weekend. It was just thrillers galore.
It really was. And like heading in before our game started, we were heading in for the warm-up and saw the boys score, and we could see that they were a little bit down. So it was a bit, they were a few goals down at least. And then when we came back out on the ground to start our on-ground warm-up before we played, I saw the score and realised how close they got in the end. So it was a bit of a bummer for the boys. And yeah, we ended up getting had a little bit of a rough day and ended up, yeah, splitting the points, as you said, with a draw.
Was there a heroic goal or rush behind, or how did we get a draw?
We were actually up most of the day. We were probably a little bit lucky there. They didn't kick too straight. I think in the first quarter they got about 7 behind, so I think that kept us in it. And, yeah, we were up majority of the day, and then it was just towards the end, probably in the last quarter, they had most of the ball and had control of the game, so it looked like it was going to slip away. So it got to the point where we thought there might have been a loss. I think we had it in our 50 a little bit, so there's probably a couple of missed opportunities. That's what you always think about, obviously, when there's a draw. But yeah, we managed to get a couple of points in the end and even the scores up.
3-9, 27 to 4-3, 27. So Collingwood did miss a couple. I did see your name in the goals column and the best players. So a good day for yourself.
Yeah, it was probably, I'll say it was a goal, but it was definitely a pass. I loved the shape of the ball.
Hey, when it's in the scorebook, never tell us the real...
doesn't matter how it goes through.
No, exactly.
Ball kicked wobblers. Still one of the most unusual feelings in footy, a draw. I'm not sure how many draws you would have played in Lingy, but I've had a couple, and just the least satisfying way to finish a game. It, honestly, a little part of you feels like we just want someone to win.
Are you an extra time man then?
Well, I hate drawing games, but I still think it's part of the game. So I'm actually not.
I don't want to play anymore.
No, I'm all for extra time in finals and that. But in season, I do think it's part of the game. It's a rotten feeling, but I just feel like it's part of the game.
Okay.
It was strange.
Yeah, it's weird.
There's a lot of girls haven't played much footy as well, and so no one really knew
what
to do. Like, I've had one draw before. I had a draw when I was with Carlton, but aside from that, everyone was like, "Oh, well, are we happy or are we sad? What's going on?"
You mentioned Carlton. You have played AFLW for the Blues, but we've built a bit of suspense here.
We've got another exclusive.
We've got something exciting. You're not just playing VFLW for the Cats. You're one of the Cats' new signings for next season, I believe.
I am, and I'm so excited to, you know, be able to talk about it now. I've known for a little bit, and there's so much pride running out in the VFLW wearing the hoops, and it's been probably, you know, growing up, I was supporting the Bulldogs and then played for Carlton, and I think my story with Geelong has just been like an unlikely love story. I've just absolutely fallen in love with the club, and I'm so excited to be a part of next year.
And now we can't name names yet, but there are others about to be announced as well. Obviously, had the Melbourne quartet announced last week, but then there's, I think, another five names who are going to be announced.
Yeah, so myself and five others will be announced later today, I believe, which is nice and exciting. I've been chatting to the girls a bit, and they're all very excited to get the word out there and get excited. Obviously, we're concentrating on the VFL at the moment, but very excited to get into that from later this afternoon.
You'll be able to teach Kate how it's like goes from playing for the Blues to playing for the Cats.
Well, I am curious how you found it, because I've got some views on the differences between the clubs. Obviously, you've been around the club for a little bit now. Is there anything you've noticed right away difference-wise between Carlton and Geelong?
Obviously, the differences initially, like, Carlton was actually the first footy experience that I had since my under-12s year. Wow. So going from that, it was a lot for me to learn going into a club regardless. I think one thing I've really, really loved at the Cats is how integrated everything is. Like, at Carlton, we were quite lucky to have our own change rooms and everything, but they were quite a bit around the stadium at Icon Park, and so I probably didn't know many of the staff or players or anything at the Blues outside of my own team. Just the fact that, you know, how often we see you guys around everyone's like, it honestly feels, I know it's so cliche, but it really feels like a family.
But that's the important thing, isn't it, to make it like that. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on being one of the new signings. Just before you go, a reminder to the listeners, the Women in Sport event coming up 15th of June. Get on events@geelongcats.com.au for a bit more information, and hopefully come along. But you'll be part of that event, will you? You're involved in
she will
the
be
community.
Now. That's correct.
Part of the football club. So
Kate will be there.
Absolutely. Kate, thank you, and exciting news.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, speaking of exciting, time for the questions. As always, we love to hear from you. We love the feedback too, if you think we can do anything better, especially in Scotty's direction.
Really embrace the feedback.
His dislike of animals. jump on any of the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those. Send in your questions. Send in your feedback, please. We love the interaction with all the fans. That's what we're here doing it for, all the listeners. First question, again, it's always going to be in the direction of Zach, but I think we've got one for the group here from Gareth Kent. Hey, boys, was the addition of a tap ruckman a significant factor against the Pies? Zach Smith coming in for Rhys Stanley. How did you see it, Zach?
Not my area of expertise, if I'm perfectly honest. But obviously having somebody who can compete in an area of the ground where Collingwood are really strong. I mean, Grundy's having an incredible year. Might be a question for the mids, but I was really happy Zaki got back in because I reckon he would have nullified a lot of Grundy's strengths.
Well, to half time, Brody Grundy was really had no influence on the game at all. Second half was quite good. Yeah, he was better, but I thought Zach Smith did a really good job. And even seeing Asava go into the ruck at times and run him around some more just took away a little bit of that petrol. It was good to see.
But once again, Zach has come in fresh and played well. It's just he gets 2, 3, 4 weeks. He hasn't strung it together. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity for him.
Yeah, it is. And that's the challenge, I think, we've said it on a previous podcast. Whoever it is, whether it's Zach Smith, whether it's Rhys Stanley, whether it is Ryan Abbott, the mighty number 45. No, but whoever it is in the ruck, there's an opportunity for someone to grab it and just consistently every week nail their spot in the team, and then there'll be no question. So great challenge for Zach. Christopher Gillen writes, to me. I got a question. Exciting. Hey, Lingy, just wondering, as an All-Australian selector, what is the main thing you look for? Without giving too much away, do you think Tom Stewart will be in calculations at the moment? Well, Christopher, thank you for the question. I'm not giving too much away. Yes, Tom Stewart will be in the calculations. He has been brilliant this season. Again, on the weekend, I was nervous after we chatted to him.
Oh, the pressure of the podcast.
Absolutely. He'd have a bit of a stinker and no one would want to come on, but he was brilliant again.
Yeah, again, super consistent, just backs himself and he's hard at it. So.
What we look for, just to give a quick
your first ridiculous meeting where you name 800 people?
No, it was normally, in years gone by, 3 meetings. About round 11 or 12, again at round 15, and then the final one. We've dropped the
early
one where we do put 1,000 names up on the board. So it's one at about round 15 and then the final one. People are always in contact with each other and talking how
different
players are going.
Do you get in real stinks? Like, is there real stand-up, I'm storming out, this bloke has to be in it?
Never storming out, but it does get heated. And that last one in particular, what you're talking about is players who've all had great seasons. You might get down to 30 guys for 22 spots who've all had brilliant seasons, and every one of those 30, you could make a strong case to get in. That's when the debates and discussions happen and arguments. And there's always a strong push for certain players, and it gets down to those last couple of spots, and it does get tense and long. The meetings are very, very long. But Tom Stewart right now, if we were having a meeting this week, his name would be on the board for sure.
I'm the campaign person of the pod.
Yes.
I'm starting one about my Irish friend here. I mean, he's got to be on the board.
Don't worry.
Flying.
I'd have his name on the board as well. Since when are we actually pumping him up?
No. Good
isn't
point.
It just about...
Nah, I love Scotty's campaigns. I've defended every one of his campaigns so far.
Right now, though, there'd be a number of Geelong players named
there'd
on the board.
Tom Stewart.
Yes.
Mitch Duncan?
No, he had a slow start there. Probably wouldn't be there.
I'm struggling here now.
Sell would be there.
Oh, Sell, but he's obvious.
Dangerfield would be there.
Solid player, yeah.
Tui would be there.
Mm. Oh, now we're sucking up to it.
Nah, I'm not. Give me a few weeks, I'll get on the board. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's interesting. Call. Anyone out there? Tim Kelly, we put his name on.
You don't put first year players in.
That
you
is
blokes.
Rubbish.
No, you've got to do 2-3 years. You have that sort of apprenticeship.
Christopher, what Scotty's saying now is rubbish. It doesn't matter if first year or 15th year.
Name the last first year player, your mob, all of you, picked.
So round 15, what we will end up with is...
Questioning your integrity a lot on this podcast.
We will end up with about 50 names after round 15. And we will have written in red maybe 5 names at round 15 that appear to be certainties.
Oh, the locks?
Appear to be
locks. Yes.
So right now, again, pretend
all
it's right now.
I'll
but
say
you know,
Nathan Fyfe.
And that Fyfe.
Cripps, I'd say. Patrick Cripps.
That type. There'd be a couple whose names would be in red right now.
Okay.
But that's what we end up with. Got to move on. I'd love to talk All Australian the whole time because these two keep picking on me. Nick Heffernan. Nick Heffernan asks, how has Tom Stewart avoided the second-year Blues? Zach?
Well, he was already a slightly more mature player when he got picked up. And then you couple that with a good first year, and knowing him as a person, he's highly driven. And he's a confidence player. So once he had a good start, he was never going backwards. So he's just taking the game by the scruff of the neck.
He certainly has, and love the way he takes the game on. It's so exciting, incredible. So brave with what he does. As I said, every week, please throw in the questions. We will answer as many as we possibly can, and I'll make sure the guys don't pick on me too much. If you want to ask any All-Australian questions, I'll give you a little insight every now and then. We've got to take a break because Brian Cook is just walking through the door, and we're about to... have a chat with the great man, Cookie. The run to come for the Cats. They've got Essendon next week, Carlton, the Suns, Kangaroos, Richmond, and the game against the Bombers is the Power Core Country Festival. So make sure you get along to that. Lot happening. I'll give you more of the details a bit later on. So
lots of animals will be there. So I'll be there.
I'd say so.
Supporting them.
Good Scotty work. Will be there with his bags.
Cookie's up next.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, 3 in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG 3 membership. You get entry to any 3 of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back to The Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast, and we are now joined, this is exciting, this is what we've been looking forward to, the boss, the chief, the CEO of the Geelong Cats, Brian Cook. Welcome to you, Cookie.
Thanks, Leah. It's the first time I've been on this podcast. Actually, the second podcast I've ever been on.
What was the first one?
I did one for actually, it's the third one. I've done a couple for some interstate guys. Yeah.
You really embrace this new technology, haven't you?
I'm a slow learner on this. Yeah.
You're coming off, the whole club's coming off a terrific win on Sunday against the Pies. Good test. It was a hard-fought game. What do you actually do on game day? I mean that seriously. Yeah. I know what you do during the week.
It depends on whether it's a home game or an away game. If it's a home game, I actually get pretty busy. But on the weekend, you asked me what we did on the weekend. I was marinated by Eddie McGuire. The first 2 hours of my stint at the MCG, we had the Collingwood President's Function. And Eddie had, want to be a millionaire questions. He interviewed Sarah from Ireland. Sarah, the girl that everyone wants to recruit. And it goes on and on. So we were really marinated by Eddie.
Well, I'm just going to get straight to, the elephant in the room. Now, when I came to the club, I thought I was doing all right. I got a 4-year deal, all right? So I'm very happy with that. If I realised the club was so easily pressured into giving out 5-year contracts like Blitzow's got, whose brain fade was that? Yeah, locking him down for 5 years.
Zach, you need your dad to stay. Yeah. All right. He took us to town. Andrew Blissard's the dad. He took us to town. He did. He got the 5 years. When you think about it, he'll only be 32, maybe 33 by that fifth year.
Well, I think you're being very generous. Now, Cookie, on contracts, you must have some funny stories over the journey. What's your best stink or best anecdote for a contract fight you've had?
Early days with Ron Joseph, to be honest.
Oh, he was hard.
With Fraser Gehry. I was reminded by it because Zach's wearing an Adidas T-shirt here. And Fraser one day wore a Nike T-shirt into our club when we were sponsored completely protected by Puma. That's when, it wasn't seen as a tool of trade, And so we had the right as a club back in the day to actually tell the players they had to wear a certain type of... brand. Anyway, I remember Ron Joseph said to me, "Well, he's not going to be wearing that. He's going to be wearing this particular brand." And I said, "That's fine. He won't play on the weekend." And Ron Joseph looked at me, and honestly, from that day on, we have been the best of friends. Yeah. And that's the way Ronnie Joseph worked. So we got our way. He actually, he did change his way. Actually, when I say that he didn't work, he just wore no branding gear for the rest of his career at the club, Fraser Gehry.
You don't have to name names here, Cookie, but do you just hate managers, the player managers, when they come in?
No, I love managers.
Oh, hang on. Fingers and toes across, keep going.
No, look, player managers, most are okay. It's only the one or two who just go in 100% for the player and they don't consider the industry or the club in particular, And they're the ones that get me, and they honestly don't give a rat's about the future of the footy club, which is a bit crazy because the future of their players is partly dependent on the future of the footy club. Yeah, it works hand in hand. So they're the ones that get me. But can I say they're a small minority now, and I think also because there's sort of clusters of players now, high clusters of numbers of players and a small number of managers. If you get across the five or six top managers, you get across about 70% of the players.
When you started here, what was the highest paid player? What was he on? Was it? I want to, because Zach's on a million over there. What
I do remember what I do remember is that we had six players taking up 50% of our cap.
Wow.
It might have been seven, but six or seven, and three had long term injuries.
Oh.
And that's what I do remember.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't simply turn players over quickly for a lot of reasons. I won't go through those. They're pretty obvious. But it took us on. We actually rotated 65% of our players in 2 years, in 99 mm-hmm. and 2000. And when I arrived in 99 also, we were nearly $10 million in liability, $7 million of that in bank interest, a bank debt, of which it was an 18% interest. So before you opened the doors, it was $1 million. Mm. And so we had to take $1 million out of the footy department overnight, really. That's what we did. I'm snapping my fingers here.
Uh-huh.
And there was three or four players that probably, bore the brunt of that. But we had to do that to make sure the club survived.
What should the highest paid player at a club be on now? Not saying it needs to be Geelong, but just across the league, what's your feel?
Look, I don't know. When I started then, we didn't have free agency. We didn't. And the premiership formula was to have the smallest range, but the highest average. Does that make sense? Yep. Like, the lowest paid player on, say, 50 grand at the time, and the highest paid player, say, 500. So it was a 450 range. The lower you could get that, and still have really good talent, and all around the same age was the best formula. Now it's different, and I think it's changing dramatically. I think you're going to find in 3 or 4 years' time, it'll be the top 25 that they're going to take up 80-85% of the cap. That's what I think is going to happen. And the highest paid player might be, you know, next 2 or 3 years. You know, I don't, you know, a couple of million wouldn't surprise me in, say, 4 or 5 years' time.
Wow, that's big dollars.
That's
isn't
a lot of cash.
So that's why I'm seeing it happen. I think it's going to be polarized much, much more. So the formula that used to work, I don't think is necessarily the one that will work now, although I think Richmond has that right now.
What? Yeah, well, they do, okay, with Dustin at the pointy. Yeah. What about list change numbers? Like, can we, where's that heading? I think a lot of people think cut it to 30 and then have, you know, VFL squad that you can pluck from.
Well, Scotty, we've been through this for a couple of decades. I've been through it when we started with a list of 38 at the West Coast Eagles. That's when they, you know, they said there's this move to narrow it to narrow it because they wanted the state leagues to become stronger, basically. So the better players 35 to 50 would play in those leagues. Then the coaches get involved and they want longer lists because of the injuries. Then, you know, you have this compromise called rookies that came in. Then you have the extended international rookies and so on and so forth. So now we have a list of 48, I think, Zach, right now. And now they're talking about going back to 35.
Yeah.
Well, if they do, one thing I'm certain will happen, we'll go back to 50 within another 10 years. It just goes around in circles. You know, because the injuries are inevitable. You've got to replace them. Coaches want more and more players to pick from in the end. I don't know a coach who basically says, all I want is 30 players. They want 50 players. They want 70 players. I don't know one that wants 30.
Because they want the bigger training squads too.
They want the bigger training squads, yeah.
Is that so? That's still the consensus generally amongst coaches, is that they're happy with the big list?
At the moment, they're heading towards 35.
Yeah.
But, but I'm thinking that will only be their flavour of the
yeah,
league.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm saying that once a few injuries hit them and a few players are out of form and they're on the bottom of the ladder, they say, we need a bigger list.
Couple of quick, just bang, bang, bang questions. Membership, where's it at right now?
About 58,000, mate.
Fantastic. Free agency. Do the Cats go after Tom Lynch?
No. You can't afford him.
Your future? 2 more years, I think?
Yeah, end of 2020.
And
that will do me.
That will do.
Officially, we're done.
Yeah, done at 2020. End of 2020.
Wow. That will be 22 years?
Something like that, yeah. 99 I started, so probably 21 years,
yes.
Maybe.
Test my maths there.
You have a zillion anecdotes from when you first started, but what's your favourite one? The, you know, the office falling down or the...
There's 3 or 4 things as a CEO that I don't get involved in. People tend to enjoy this one: car parking, 2 ticketing, 3 bar closing times when you lose.
Yes.
4 office moves, never get involved with office moves. And 5, the big one, never get involved in uniforms. Particularly women's uniforms.
So that's how you've had longevity in the
game.
That's
how they are the secrets.
It's not that complicated, no, Scotty. We just,
I'm writing them down. That's fantastic.
We've overcomplicated things.
How
for
to
years.
Become a successful sports administrator.
Just stay out of that stuff.
Well, certainly, and I'm speaking from my experience here, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there, the greatest appointment in the Geelong Cats history.
Frank still says it.
Cookie, oh, there's no doubt about that.
Frank,
No doubt about that whatsoever. Thank you for joining us. I'm glad this could be your third ever podcast. Please don't judge podcasts on this rabble that
there
we've got together.
There is some good ones out there.
No, thanks for your time, Cookie.
No,
really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Scotty, were there any questions you didn't ask him, Cookie?
Well, there's a long list.
Yeah, we could have had an hour with him.
I know. But he's warming into podcasts, as he said, so maybe we'll have him again later in the year.
Well, I know I said it before, but what a job he has done for this football club.
Seriously, we sit here, look at it, and I know we didn't get in on the ground because he could talk for an hour about it, but you remember what it was like back in 1999.
Yep.
The joint was falling apart. Zach, you would have giggled your head off at what this joint was.
He's given it 2 more years, and unfortunately...
he's gone.
Sad, that'll be sad when Cookie finally goes. Brilliant. We've got to move on, though. It's... I like this segment. For Whom the Bell Tolls is what we call it. It's where we put somebody in other sport, politics, the rest of the world, or the rest of the AFL under a little bit of pressure. Zach, can we start with you? Because I know you hate all other sports. I'm assuming it's not not sport related. But what have
well,
you got?
Well, it is sport related.
Oh, okay. Oh, you actually like a sport,
then. NBA?
Well, no, it's soccer again. It's the Irish under 17 team. So they played. But just listen to this. This is nonsense. This is outrageous. I read this overnight. The Ireland under 17 team were in the European Championship quarterfinal. All right, went to penalties. Great. The Irish keeper, as every keeper in the world does ever, when the penalty is taken, takes half a step or a step forward and then makes his decision.
Cheated.
Didn't cheat. This is phenomenal that they let this happen. So not only was the penalty caught, he saved it, decisive penalty, and he saved it. Not only did he make the Dutch player retake the penalty, he gave the under-17 goalkeeper his second yellow card, sent him off. This 16-year-old kid, probably in the biggest game of his life, was bawling his eyes out. And not only that, they wouldn't let the Irish team bring on the sub-goalie, so the centre-back had to go on goals.
Oh, no.
This is outrageous. It's not a booking anyway, but to do it at that time to a young player in the biggest game of his life is outrageous. There'll be more to come in this. That referee could be in trouble.
I actually wanted to disagree with Zach and he's got a point.
That is nonsense.
That is nonsense.
Are they picking on the smaller nation? Is a bit of this going on?
Oh, well, it's always everyone's against us, you know.
There we are.
I love the fact that he knows the minute details of the under-17 Irish soccer team, but doesn't know anything about international test cricket.
Yes, I do know test cricket. We've been through this. I know it bores me to tears.
Scotty, what do you got for us?
All right, organisations, football clubs. Now, in your business, Cameron, you run many hotels. And when you part ways with a bartender who's not doing his best, he's sacked. Is that everyone is sacked? You don't mutually agree to stop working.
No, you don't mutually agree. You try and put it a little bit nicer than
it's a joke.
Get out your sack.
Mark Neil, Essendon. Mark Neil didn't wake up after round 8 and go, you know what, I might just resign. I've had enough. I mean, don't try and pull it across our eyes. The public know it was a sacking. Stop giving gobbledygook. Just be open.
So he
was here on the podcast.
He was
sacked. Of course
sacked.
He was. Podcast. Podcast.
He was sacked.
Well, what do you think happened, Cameron? Do you think he woke up on the Monday and said, you know what Essendon's faults are? It's me. I'm going to give up 200 whatever grand I'm getting paid because it's my fault. Woosha, sorry, I'll go now. Thanks.
Did they make the right decision?
I'm not commenting on that.
Oh, come on. I don't think he's
to blame, but clearly their coaching setup was very bizarre. Everything got funneled through him and the other coaches allegedly couldn't speak in the bot. Very strange.
Oh, I'd noticed then Scotty just sort of sat on the fence and wasn't going to comment.
You can't call me a cent.
I read with interest that the favourite column of the week in one of the newspapers, The Whisper. The Whisper today.
So this is your...
I'm putting you under the pump. The Whisper today was which club president, while working on his kicking, hit one of his players' kids in the head with a football and made them cry. Name names.
No, I'm not. I'm about teasing it for the readers. It was Eddie McGuire. I mean, Eddie and it McGuire, was Daniel Wells' young daughter.
Oh, what? He prides himself on being a better kick than most players, Eddie.
And publicly, he stubbed his toe famously on a video. So poor old Ed hasn't had the best. So
was that on Sunday at the MCG?
They'd lost to the Great Cats, and Ed's in there kick-to-kick with his sons, who are in there all the time, and we love that. There's always kids buzzing around. But apparently laid back on went the drill pass. And
smacked poor Wellesley's daughter in the head.
Apparently, and she was less than impressed. She was very young. And Eddie rushed over, and it was highly amusing to the media who were watching this go on.
Wasn't a good day for President Sen on Sunday because I got stuck behind, coming into the car park at the MCG, the underground car park, I got stuck behind a car. They all get searched. The driver has to get out. You get magic wanded to make sure there's no metal and all that sort of stuff.
Bombs.
The driver jumped back in the car and didn't know how to turn his obviously new electric car back on. It was the prez of the Cats, Colin Carter.
Colin.
Didn't know how to turn his car back on.
The new Ford he would have been driving.
Yes, it was a good solid 5 or 10 minute delay for the prez because he didn't know how to turn his car on.
Like in neutral, you put in D and it sort of starts.
What?
I was too scared to comment because it was Colin.
We're going to explore this next week.
Oh, it's not a good day for the president.
He dropped a bomb at the end.
we've got to finish up. We do know that the team plays the Bombers this Saturday afternoon, 4:35 game, the MCG. It's part of the Power Core Country Festival. I think there's a market pre-game from 1 o'clock.
There'll lots of animals going on. Lots of beautiful animals.
Black Sorrows and John Williamson are playing at the MCG. Zach will love John Williamson. Well,
yep, he's a cricketer. I believe he's a cricketer.
Okay, we're going to have to let you listen to True Blue.
Yeah, okay.
Just basically an Aussie anthem there, Zach. But there, lots going on Saturday. Should be a good game. The Bombers, they'll bounce. No, they'll bounce.
No, because an assistant coach got the flip.
No, they're under the pump. They will bounce. But if the Cats play to their
best, Michael Hurley's not playing.
Take care of them. And as mentioned before, the next five games, good run for the Cats. Carlton here on Saturday night, GMHBA Stadium. The Suns at Metricon. Kangaroos down here, which will be a beauty at GMHBA on a Saturday afternoon. And then the Tigers at the MCG on a Sunday afternoon. So a big 5 weeks coming up for the Cats. As always, we will, over the next few weeks, have all the news. We'll have a heap of fun. Zach, well done today.
You're Thank ready. You.
Scotty, stop hurting animals.
I'm not mentioning it again.
We will. Leave that to us.
See you next week.
Goodbye.